Perfect. Hi guys, welcome to today's Product School Talk. We have a really awesome guest with us. I just want to do a quick test and make sure that you can hear and see me. And it looks like we have a lot of people watching right now, so that's perfect. So our guest today is Jordan James. He's a product manager at Electronic Arts, and he's focused on the employee experience. So welcome, Jordan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Cassandra. Thanks for the invitation. And hey, everyone. Jordan James here. As Cassandra mentioned, I'm a PM at Electronic Arts in Austin, Texas. She asked me to just give a quick background. So I started my career in actually defense and aerospace as a project manager, and I was working on missiles, which is kind of a fascinating product to work on. Decided maybe defense and aerospace wasn't my dream career, so I made a move into tech, and I worked for a couple of software as a service companies here in Austin before I joined EA. So that was both supply chain management and more digital marketing and e-commerce. And so I was in project and program management roles at those companies, working with product teams, but not as a product manager. And I started to get very interested in product management space, kind of working in partnership with product teams, and made that kind of my new career goal. So about a year and a half ago, I made the move here to EA as a product manager, and I haven't looked back. So it's been great for me. And I'm going to pull up my presentation here. So let me just do a screen share.
Perfect. Thank you. And while Jordan's getting that ready too, just a reminder, guys, after his presentation, we're going to be opening the floor for Q&A. And so whenever we're ready for that, you can type in your questions right next to the YouTube video in the chat box, and I will take those following your presentation. So Jordan, the floor is yours.
Perfect. Thank you. If for any reason my presentation here drops out, just let me know. So I'm going to be talking about product management for internal products, and I've included a little teaser image for a joystick design system, which is our internal design system at EA, and I'll be talking about that in more detail a little bit later on. Excuse me. So I kind of wrote down my goals before I put anything down in this presentation. So first and foremost, I hope to inspire some interest in managing internal products. I think if your heart's desire is to work at Instagram, then I say, you know, go for it. But I think there's also a lot more opportunity outside of really popular, you know, applications and websites in the internal space. I also hope to share some of the challenges, but also the advantages in being an internal PM from my own experience. And then I hope to encourage some reflection. You know, if you're working on a product today, what unique advantage does your product have, or maybe does your user base offer? And I'll share what I think mine is, and I hope that encourages you to think a little bit about how you might use it to your advantage. So first thing here, I kind of said to myself, internal PM, is it different than working on an external or commercially available product? And so I did this quick inventory of PM skills. And so I think of these in three buckets. You know, you have to set the direction for the team, whether that's, you know, establishing the goals, a longer term roadmap, but also more detailed, actionable, you know, user stories, whatever you might use. So drive the direction of the team. You also have to, you know, own the execution. I think if you're just writing down product ideas, you can't claim to be a product manager. So whether that's chipping in on design, project management, writing a test plan, you know, you own the execution, and then generating insights. So looking at your metrics, doing testing, understanding your users, how they're behaving. These to me are a quick snapshot of PM skills. And so I said, are these all applicable to internal and more external product management? And my answer to myself was pretty close. I think that market sizing and pricing are probably unique to a commercially available product. And though those are you know, significant challenges, I think that overall, the skill set's fairly similar. And I'd even say you might get more opportunity to work across this whole, you know, whole breadth of skill sets as an internal PM. And I'll talk about that a little bit further in just a few moments. So next, I kind of wrote down a few examples of internal products. And so generally speaking, I would think of an internal product as either the users are internal to your organization, or perhaps your product or service is consumed by another product. And so to do a quick run through here, you know, upper left, core IT, I think these are typically served by vendor products. Not a lot of companies are developing these themselves. So workforce management, maybe that's Workday. Issue and project tracking, maybe you have Jira, you know, that's great. Usually these are more of like a buy versus build. So let's not spend too much time there. Sales enablement, you know, Salesforce is a very popular CRM tool. And I think some companies are doing so much development on top of that, that it really is an internal product. That's kind of the middle ground. You can just buy it off the shelf and run with it. I've also included employee experience. It's really my focus and sweet spot right now. So we think about how can we provide a really exceptional employee onboarding experience? Or maybe even backing that up to the talent acquisition cycle. How can we make your initial engagement with EA as an potential employer really smooth and transition you into an employee and make it all feel very seamless and easy? We're also putting a lot of effort into our intranet. I think that most company intranets are some mix of curated company news, a couple links to team pages, and a stock ticker or something like that. But we're trying to ask ourselves questions like, how might we help a new employee get connected within the company in their first 6 months so they feel like they're prepared to be successful in the company? How might we help an individual who was promoted to manager have the skills and resources to grow into that role and really help their team? How might we provide relevant and contextual experiences? So we're really trying to push the limits or rethink employee experience. And then just a few industry-specific examples, game development engines. EA, we make video games. We have a specific game development engine we use. I'm actually going to be talking about that on just the next slide. My previous experience in digital marketing, there's a product focused on content moderation. I'll also share some details there. And then I also wanted to touch on design systems. These have really grown in popularity in the last couple of years. And you might be familiar with things like Google's Material Design as an example. So let's keep moving ahead here. I wanted to touch on Frostbite. This is EA's game development engine. If you're not familiar, this is our core framework that's used to drive the technical development of most EA games. So it has virtually everything: graphics, scripting, AI, cinematics, you name it. Really, a game studio can technically build a video game using this framework. And so we have this internal team who's trying to understand what are the needs of these game studios? What are they doing now? What are they going to be doing 2 years from now? How can they build upon features they already have? How can they enhance features to really drive forward the player experiences that we can deliver? And they own the overall success of this engine. So that really sounds quite like a product team to me. And so though Frostbite, you know, if you play any EA games, you're the ultimate end consumer. When you buy Battlefield 1, that's in the bottom left there, you're kind of consuming Frostbite, but the customer here is really the game studio who goes to this product team and says, you know, 3 years from now, the game we're working on is going to be pushing the limits of what's possible in cinematics. I need you to be developing our frameworks so that we can deliver that experience to our player. So this to us is a big competitive advantage that we have such a robust game development engine. It's a great internal product. So continuing on here, before EA, I worked at a company called Bizarre Voice. Their primary product is ratings and reviews. So if you've ever shopped at Target.com, at BestBuy.com, let's say you were shopping for a TV, you see all these product ratings and reviews. You know, 4 out of 5 stars, this is the greatest contrast I've ever seen on a TV, whatever. So for you, you can sort those, you can filter them, you can submit a review. It's all fairly simple to the end user. But to the brand or retailer, you know, having authentic, relevant reviews is of immense importance. It helps protect their brand and ultimately helps influence shopping behavior. So when this review is submitted on a site, all these reviews at Bizarre Voice are actually moderated. So there's two layers. There's technology filters that are going to look for things like this has a curse word, has coarse language. Let's filter that out. We don't want to display it. But even something like we see 10,000 reviews from one IP address, that's clearly fraudulent. We're going to want to try to understand what's happening. And once it gets past that technology filter, there's even human moderators who speak many, many different languages across the whole of them. And then they read through these reviews, each review, to understand, is this relevant to the product? Is this something of worth to the shopper? And so this is something you, as someone who's just shopping on e-commerce site, would never see, but it's really critical to the overall value proposition of these ratings and reviews. So if it's approved, done. It goes on the client website. If it's rejected, you know, it can be tagged, it can be filtered. You can drive alerts and notifications. Maybe think about the example of you're selling over-the-counter drugs and you have some parent who says, I gave this to my 5-year-old and she got very ill. That's something you'd want to be aware of and be able to action. So again, this is kind of this internal product that's key to the overall success of the more commercial product and is a big part of the value proposition, as I mentioned. So let's jump last but not least to design systems. If you're unfamiliar with a design system, it's really a unified set of page layouts, patterns, and components such as buttons, headers, could even be typography or approved colors that allow a designer or a front-end developer to really quickly assemble applications. And so it allows them to work faster, but also drive consistency. You know, if you imagine that, say, all of Facebook gave free rein for every designer to go come up with whatever color scheme they want, you'd stop seeing that nice shade of blue. You'd see a lot of strange, kind of jarring experiences. So the consistency, you know, really offers lower cognitive load for the user. They kind of get an expectation of how to interact with the products. And so this is just an overall centrally managed design language and framework that supports the company's products. So a couple of examples here are, say, Google's Material Design, include IBM Living Language, and then shameless plug for Joystick Design System, which is, again, our EA internal design system. And I'm actually going to be sharing a little bit more detail on that a little bit later on. So again, an internal product that helps supports the products the company's making and ultimately serving to their users. So let's shift gears for a moment. I want to talk about some challenges in my experience, but also some advantages of working on internal products. So challenges, first and foremost, teams are often under-resourced. So, you know, if you're the overall general manager for AWS at Amazon, and you have a multi-billion-dollar business, I'm guessing you can kind of get whatever you want. But if you're working on an internal product, at best, you might be trying to drive cost savings. There's really not revenue associated with it. So inevitably, there's a little bit smaller teams. Now, thinking back to the PM skills slide that I shared, you know, it's been great for me as a newer PM. I've been doing it for about 1.5 years. I feel like I've had to stretch my own skill set and really grow because I have to cover a lot of bases. I'm not just focused on one thing. You know, I don't just write high-level product specs and hand them off. So think about what your goals are. Maybe you want to be more narrow and focused. Totally respect that. I think another challenge is internal products. If they don't have a dedicated owner, sometimes you end up with many stakeholders but few owners, kind of like there's some shadow group of people making decisions, but they might not be really driving the direction of the product. You might not have true accountability. So this kind of gets into organizational politics. I won't get too deep into it, but just know that trying to grab hold of a product that hasn't had an owner can have its own struggles sometimes. And then the one that can keep me up at night is this proxy quote, which is, you know, well, that's just for internal use, which is to say the quality bar is lower. You know, it's just for internal employees. We shouldn't be so worried about it. I really fight that. I think that we should always be driving consumer-grade experiences. I think you should proudly show your product to your peers, your manager, the CEO of the company, any one of your customers. I don't think there's an excuse to make it a lower quality experience just because it's internal. So a very quick example, at EA, you know, we use ServiceNow for a lot of IT service management. It's a vendor product. It's kind of IT-centric. I don't think it's as focused on kind of the end user experience. And this is a simple input form. If I need, you know, I have a help request. What do you need? Tell me what you need to put your description here. How critical is it? There's nothing necessarily wrong with this form other than some minor usability things like the attachment buttons at the bottom, submits up in the upper right corner. But I also think it doesn't add a lot of context to the user. You know, once I submit this, what's the SLA? How should I follow up? It's kind of mediocre. And that's maybe this idea of like, it's just internal. We think it's good enough. So let me flip over to some advantages on internal product management. If I go back to the goals, I said, encouraging some self-reflection. You know, what advantage do you have? My advantage is that user research is free. I quite literally sit among my users. I can talk to them constantly. I get an understanding of what their pain points are. It also allows us to really iterate quickly and have tight feedback loops when we're developing new products. And so I just feel like I have a really deep understanding of my users. And in other companies, there might be more barriers. You have to make a more tangible effort to get in touch with them. So I really try to use this to my advantage. Though sometimes, you know, people know where to find me too, so I get in-person bugs filed to me, I feel like. Additionally, you know, success for me is defined by my product metrics. I don't, again, have revenue goals. There's no like goal to meet 10% year-over-year revenue growth or something. So I can drive the direction. I can establish what are my engagement targets, what are my adoption targets, and then push the team towards that. And then last but not least, this is a bit of kind of silver lining perspective, though some internal products, you know, have kind of been neglected for a while. The good thing is, these aren't micro-optimizations. There's obvious, there's sometimes opportunity for really large sweeping improvements. And so that really excites me. I get to really reimagine products. And so one simple example, you know, we can quickly come up with medium fidelity prototypes of what an internal help solution could better look like, put it in front of users, understand where we're on the right track or not, get their feedback, and very quickly iterate towards a more high fidelity, what I would think of as a consumer grade product. And so that's the advantage that we really try to exploit. We can move very quickly because we have such access to our users. So I'd like to jump over to, I mentioned joystick design system at EA. And I'm actually going to jump into the actual website that houses it. So again, this is our internal design system that we use across many internal applications. I kind of mentioned this, but it makes these consistent user experiences, which ultimately, you know, reduces the cognitive load for the user. It's all very familiar. So I'm not going to share the actual design system file, which would include like a tear sheet of design components plus a front-end framework. But I would like to share, we built this website, and I believe you can still see my screen share here. We built this website to house it. And the idea was we could have just put some links up, you know, on a wiki page or something like that and said, hey, if you want to use this, you know, come download it. But instead we said, how might we really drive some adoption and also push this mindset of we should be making consumer-grade experiences even for internal products. So if I come here, you know, let's say I want to get started. Great. You know, what do you want to do? I want to design a digital interface. I'm a front-end developer. I need to build something, or I'm doing some copywriting. I just need some voice and tone guidelines. I want to design. You know, I'm a sketch user. Cool. Easy onboarding workflow. You can design this, download this design tear sheet. You have all of our components, fonts, colors, and you can very quickly start to, you know, wireframe out and build a web application. And so you can also jump into our guides. We'll help you get started. If you really are at ground zero, you haven't used Sketch before, no problem. We'll help you get started. If you want more kind of deeper guides, we've broken this up, again, into developer and design writing guides, or even if you need full technical documentation, you know, we've built that all out. And then if I'm getting kind of meta for a moment, we used our joystick design system to build the joystick website. So it was a good kind of proving exercise to say, is our design system robust enough to actually build something with it? And that was like a good kind of beta test, if you will. So I'd like to pause there. Thank you again for allowing me to talk about internal product management, and I'm happy to turn it over to questions.
Awesome. Thanks for that really insightful presentation, Jordan. Appreciate that. We already have a couple questions that came through, so I'm going to pull one of those up for you. So the first question is from Azin. A successful product manager clearly needs a variety of skills. According to you, what are the most in-demand skills when recruiting or becoming a product manager?
I'll give a two-part answer, I think. First and foremost, I think every product manager kind of has their strong suit. You know, if you have a design background, use it. If you're a former developer, use it. Me, I came from more project and program management, so I feel like I'm very effective at really driving the execution, being able to confidently pick a release date and meet it. Generally speaking, I think it'd be great if a product manager either is strong in design or strong on more of the tech side. These are the teams that you're going to be partnering with, design and development. And so if you can really be strong in one of those areas, I think that's a huge advantage. I'm really remiss to pick one over the other. But that's, I think one of those would really be, could really make you stand out.
Right. Definitely. And we have a few more, so sorry, I'm going to go and
please
some of those. So, here. Oh, wow. We had it. Okay. So here's another one. This is actually specifically about internal products. So some internal products turn out to be a public success when, according to you, releasing an internal tool for the public might be a bad idea.
When might releasing an internal product to the public be a bad idea? That's an interesting question. I can't think of an immediate example. I think that starting a product internally is such a good proving ground, such a large test, that it should probably strongly indicate if it's good enough or not. As an example, a lot of these design systems are now open sourced. I think if you look at like Salesforce's Lightning, Google's Material Design, they've followed largely an open source model. And I feel very confident in saying that they really fine-tuned these internally beforehand until they felt confident. So I'm having trouble thinking of a unique scenario in which you should definitely not push an internal product externally. But I think you should feel very confident after a kind of rigorous internal use, whether it's ready or not. I know that's a bit of a non-answer. I apologize. That's probably the best I can do.
No, it was good. I think it covered it pretty well. So this next question is from Linda. What challenges have you encountered when designing the intranet website?
Yeah. I'm gonna try to be very tactful in how I say this. So the intranet at EA is a very broad product, and it really falls in line with, I think it was a second bullet point that said that it's had a lot of stakeholders. It probably has not had a true owner. And so myself and my team are trying to not necessarily say we're now calling the shots, but we're trying to lead it from the front. And we kind of end up in, yeah, everyone wants their say. Everyone wants to have their opinion incorporated. And so that's kind of, that's a bit of company politics. And that's okay. It is such a broad product that touches so many groups that we should be doing it with a broad lens. But at some point, you have to have clear decision makers. And maybe I've arrived at the answers I've been talking. I don't think we've clearly defined decision making, and that slows us down. And that's a challenge that we're currently working through, but I feel confident we'll get there.
Right. Okay, this question comes from Denise. Do companies hire external candidates to work as a PM for internal products, or are these roles generally sourced from internal candidates?
Good question. Well, I can tell you for me, I was sourced externally. I don't know what the overall rule is. I think that what I was able to kind of sell myself as was in my previous program management role, I really started taking on more product management tasks, though I was not a product manager. I was working on a lot of pilot products and still working with those product teams to identify late stage bugs and get user feedback. So I think there's a lot of ways to transition into product management. One of the ways is to get, you know, as close to the role as you can and then kind of communicate why you think you'd be really effective making that extra half step into it. That's what I was able to do. I can say at EA, I think we tried to keep an open mind. We're not just looking for someone with 3 to 5 years of product management experience. We're certainly open to external candidates who have shown the interest in some of the competencies we're looking for.
Right, really good point. Awesome. We have quite a few more questions, so
sure.
I'm gonna put another one out here as well. We have about 10 minutes left, say 7 minutes left. So if you have other questions too, definitely type them in. So this question here is, as a PM, how often do you work on deliverables like pricing, profitability, competitive analysis, et cetera? I would take this as an internal facing product question.
Yeah. So pricing, you know, not so much, but
right.
competitive analysis, definitely. I can share an interesting experience. We at EA we don't have a much of a mandate culture. We have official tools available to teams, but we really don't stop anyone from saying, well, I'm just going to go, I just prefer to use Dropbox. I don't want to use Box, whatever that might be. And so there really is this competitive landscape where we might have an internal tool or something we've developed, and they can say, no, I'm just going to go get some outside vendor. I'm going to go get some outside agency to help me. So there is a real competitive landscape. We do try to do competitive analysis to say, what are people doing to sidestep our product if it's not good enough? And how might we make it such a great experience that they wouldn't even think about doing that? So if I go back to Joystick, I shared this site. I think part of it was to say, we could have just sent a company email that said, hey guys, we built this design system, and if you want to use it, we think it's really great. And so we just kind of soft launched it. We built what we think is a very consumer grade experience, kind of just slowly put it out there and saw if people would adopt it. And part of the experience of setting it up, installing it, and using it is that it really feels like anything you'd get from, again, a consumer grade experience. And so I think that builds some user confidence. So competitive analysis is certainly relevant to internal product management. It's just probably slightly a different flavor than if you're, you know, working in the video sharing or video conferencing space and there's like four established players that you're competing amongst or something like this.
Right, right, of course. And moving on to another question about internal facing products. With regard to internal products, how do you convince senior product management to prioritize internal products as compared to consumer facing products and revenue generating ones?
Good question. Fortunately, at EA, those are largely separated. Teams are either aligned to more of these external or more game-facing products versus internal. So the budgets and decision-making processes are largely separated. I think that there's still the opportunity to show, you know, a solid business case, take an internal help solution. You could say, we get 30,000 help requests a month. It takes, you know, you can understand how long that takes, how long does it take to triage and roll these up into cost-saving opportunities. And also look at user feedback that says they're either happy or unhappy with the experience today. There's a lot of, EA is 14,000-ish employees and contractors, so it's definitely enterprise space. And even small improvements in internal products can yield major cost savings. So I know I've went on a bit of tangent compared to your original question, but you know, you just have to show the value proposition and then show why you're going to be able to deliver on what you want to solve.
Right, which isn't often the case with product management for any type of product.
Absolutely, yep.
Great. So this question comes from Eun. How do you develop skills that you wouldn't gain from being a PM for internal products, for example, like marketing sizing or other aspects of building an internal product?
Yeah, good question. I know I push myself to do learning, you know, outside of the job. I try to reserve most Monday evenings to learn new skills. I pushed myself last year to get much more comfortable in design, being able to work in Sketch, build a wireframe, or even and help a design system. I think skills that I'm not using day-to-day at work, I try to do a lot of reading, and I'm trying to get more connected within the Austin PM community. We have some meetups, we have some groups, and I'm trying to get more connected with folks who might be working in a different way, where I could go and say, hey, I'm trying to get a little bit better at market sizing, these types of things. How might I get started? So it's a combination of self-study and then also trying to build a community. And I should probably put a good plug in for the Product School Slack. I think there's a lot of talent in there. So I could probably get more connected in there to folks who are working in those spaces.
Definitely. Thanks for that. also, speaking of which, if any of you are in our campus locations, so San Francisco, Silicon Valley, New York, Los Angeles, Santa Monica, and soon Orange County, we host events every Wednesday, so you can also stop by there and meet product managers there as well. So let me pull one or two last questions. This one is from Shlipa. How easy is it for a developer to get their PM career started in another company?
I think you have a large advantage if you've already worked in tech and you're fluent in, you know, front end or back end development, or maybe you're full stack. How easy? It's all about finding that one break. When I made the decision to try to get into product management, it took several months and I sent out many, many applications. So please don't get frustrated, but I think you can very easily talk about your experience as a developer, communicate why you're more interested in moving into a product management role, which might have a bit more breadth than depth. And I would be, you know, very interested to talk to a candidate who had already been working as a developer or a designer. I think you have a much easier sell, a better story to tell about your experience. So I think the opportunity is there.
Right, definitely is. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for your time. I'm going to close it out with one final question tied into another question that somebody else actually asked about. But what advice would you give to aspiring PMs as far as sample projects and data analysis? I'm going to ask you what advice you would give to aspiring product managers in general.
Aspiring product managers in general. I would say, just try to flex your PM skills. I think there's do a side project. I think this is common advice that I hear. Just pick something that you want to pretend is your product as a product manager and just go do a project. Come up with the problem spaces, go talk to people, sketch out how you might solve this problem. I think that's the real way to understand if it's a job you really could thrive in. And so this is the best way to kind of emulate the job. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Just go take on a side project and pretend it's your product. And then flipping over to data analysis, I think I would just tack it on to my previous answer. Go understand the data associated with this problem you're trying to solve. How many people does it affect? How frequent is it? How deep is the pain? I think that there's a large data component to any sort of product management. You have to be able to quantify the user experience or how it can make their lives better. I think just go try it. Just go jump in and see what happens.
Awesome. Thank you again, Jordan. We appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today. Really great presentation. So thanks again for that.
Thank you all.